Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Joey Gilkey. He has a rich background doing strategy and growth, and many times he's been a founder and a CEO. Today, he is CEO of Titan X, which is changing go-to-market for revenue leaders. Joey, welcome to the show.
Thomas, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. Let's take a step back and understand the problem and the pain points that people are dealing with today before they come across what you are doing.
The problem is pretty simple in my world, which is that I live in the phone go-to-market world. So cold calling at its scientific name. But at the end of the day, the problem in the market is the phone is becoming king again, which is a great reward for me, not a problem. But the challenges, the headwinds are becoming stronger, which is the connect rate on the phone. For every $100 you make, the average connect rate's about 3.5%. So your reps are putting the work all day. They're talking to three, maybe four people. Usually one or two are the wrong person. And so their at-bats are pretty low. So that's the problem in the market. The pain you feel with that is there's really two alternatives that revenue leaders have today, which is if you want to cover the pipeline gap, if you want to continue to scale and grow, historically, your only options have been to scale headcount, aka hire very expensive, slow ramping reps and more of them, or scale volume, which is go to more of a spam your TAM, spray and pray type of model and just do more activities. It doesn't make the problem go away. It just hopefully band-aids it up a little bit.
Hold on, let me jump in there a little bit. You're saying phone is king again. What the hell? So we're, 25 years deep in the web age, right? Yep. We're in the AI age now. We've gone through websites and all kinds of SaaS products and all this great stuff. And now we're in AI. You mean to tell me again that phone is coming back?
The phone is king, my friend. Yeah, so AI and automation are eating its own tail when it comes to go-to-market. So if you think about, let's lump AI and automation together. Automation creates saturation because you can just do more of it with ease. Saturation creates a commoditization. Commoditization creates a race to the bottom. And because email got inundated with all the AI and automation tools, right? We have all these auto sending sequencing tools. You've got Smart Lead and Instantly that you can send massive amounts of emails from all these different inboxes, from all these different domains. It created a frenzy in the market where there was a massive amount of saturation. But the problem is Google and Outlook care about their users, not about you sending your cold emails. So they have to protect the user experience. So when they see all these quote unquote spam or unsolicited emails, they have to put gates in the way that prohibit you delivering cold emails that they don't want. And so what do? They shut down cold email and make it very difficult to deliver the cold email. That now changes. So where do we go? We'll go to LinkedIn. LinkedIn in its heyday used to have LinkedIn automation where you could send hundreds of messages a day, connect with hundreds of people a day, build your network, send DMs. They started throttling that to where you can only do 125 connection requests a week. So it throttles how much you can do on there and people are tired of it. So that leaves the one place where you cannot automate and you cannot use AI. Legally speaking, you cannot use AI based on TCPA and FCC guidelines, which is the phone. And people are running back to the phone because it is the only channel in which one cannot be inundated by automation and AI. It can still have some saturation, but the other piece of that is it's the only channel in which you get bi-directional feedback from the prospect in lifetime. I don't get bi-directional feedback from an email. I get a yes, I get a no, I get no response. I might get a F you, go away, right? But no one's having a conversation that has signals in those conversations, right? I'm not picking up anything from that. Same with LinkedIn. So people are running back to it because there is more intelligence in those conversations that can be used in the rest of the go-to-market motion.
Okay, so I want to hit on a couple of things here. One, you talked about the evolution or de-evolution, however you want to look at it, of these processes. I find that fascinating. So I just want to put a fine point on that for myself and the audience. So let me run that back for you. Automation, first, you're doing a task by yourself. then automation creates it so it does itself. It's a machine. But then it creates saturation because now that this ability to make this machine is available, lots of people start doing it. And then at some point in this saturation process, someone's going to come along and make a product that makes it 1,000 times easier. You just pay $10 a month, a subscription, and then now everybody and their mother can do it. And then that creates a race to the bottom because now you're not even competing on whatever skills or activities around it. You're just everyone's expected to have it. And so it's an absolute race to the bottom.
And it's even done it with personalization at scale. It used to be able to write an email that says, hey man, saw that you collect Rolexes. What's your favorite Rolex? I have a Batman, right? Or I have a Pepsi. And that would be like, oh, sick. I'm going to answer this guy. Nowadays, because of tools like Clay or any of these tools that can go scrape the internet, do AI to create the pool of information and then create AI output of that, it's now a commodity because anybody can do that. And so now it's gotten back to the core of what pain do you solve and how do you solve it? And that's the messaging that resonates. They don't care if I know what school you went to or that, hey, you used to work at Oracle. Cool. So did 10,000 other people.
Yeah, and the LinkedIn ones kill me. I get hit with those all the time. And back in the day, you used to be able to do leads gen on LinkedIn, right?
Oh,
and
it was smoked it back in the day. It was so right? easy. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. I was booking like 10 meetings a day just
on LinkedIn. Because it was like, it was mostly genuine. And it was kind of like, hey, I saw that you do X, Y, and Z. Do you want to talk? Like, yeah. But now you get hit up every day and be like, hi, Thomas, it's fascinating that you worked at Three. Like, really? Is it fascinating? Or
and it's I just see like, that oh, we have mutual tough. Connections. I thought we should connect. Yeah, of course.
But LinkedIn is the most clean, buttoned up place to reliably say, this is this real person. They're checked out. They've got this sort of blue check. So you're saying that doesn't work anymore, but phones do. So let's.
It does work. I'll say that. So if I stack ranked, it'd be phone, LinkedIn, email. Email is doesn't work simply because one, deliverability is challenging. A lot of domains are getting marked as blacklisted, so they don't even show up in the inbox. LinkedIn can work. It just needs to be a little bit slower of a process because you only get 125 at-bats a week because the connection requests, and only 20% of them are going to accept the connection request. So then you have a small pool you can actually DM afterwards. And so it's more just limitation issues on LinkedIn, but it still is effective. Phone is both a quantitative and qualitative exercise, right? So I can just make more calls. I can make my messaging or my pitch or my script better over time. Right. I can have a conversation, ask good questions, get information out of them. Even if I don't convert them today, I get good information that allows me to have better follow-up. And so I think it's what people are starting to notice is that's the channel to go get as much intel on an account and a contact as possible.
No, I think that with the bidirectional, basically you get more feedback or you're more likely to get feedback is what you were saying. So if I email 1,000 emails, it might be going into a bottomless pit. It might be someone who just, they get 100 of those a day and they just don't even see it. But where phone, if you're gathering data or you're enriching the list that you have with data, because if they answer and they say no or go away, then that's data. But how do you get past the fact that we're all familiar with the equivalent of spam on phones?
Well, it's one thing that you can actually, one, people are not as powerful when they talk to you as they are behind a keyboard. So there's one thing. Everyone's
like
much,
on the
much
road.
Stronger.
Like when you're on the road, people are much
people are much stronger with a keyboard and a screen in front of them than they are on the phone. There's two elements to the spam part. There's the legitimate telecom spam where it's like your phone number showing up as spam likely. That's a whole nother process of quality that you have to figure out. There's easy ways to do that. The second is the connotation of I'm getting a cold call, right? And outbound comes down to four key pillars, which is list, message, rep, follow-up. So list is I have to be targeting the right accounts and the right contacts within those accounts or else my message will be irrelevant. The second is the messaging. So what is it that I say to them and do I contextualize it to that persona? If I'm calling a CRO, their pain is different because they own a P&L than the VP of sales, who's just getting the mandate from the top. And the VP of sales pain is different than the director of business development, right? They all have different pains, so therefore they have different things they care about. So your messaging needs to be tailored to that. I see too many organizations using a generic script about their features and benefits where they just talk to everyone the same way. They're all very different and care about different things. The third thing is the rep. So you have to train the rep to deliver the right message to the right person at the right account. And the last is follow-up. Cold calling is not a one-punch knockout type of situation. I have plenty of examples where you cold call someone, it's the wrong day for them. They tell you to F off and you call them back in 2 weeks and you have a 20-minute conversation on a cold call and they convert and eventually become a customer, like it happens. And so the phone is there's a couple of strategies behind it, obviously, on how you talk to people. But so long as you deliver the right message with the right level of care and tone, and they're the right contact at the right account, you can have a ton of success with cold. I have two SDRs that just started in September for me. They booked 42 meetings off the phone their first month. And mind you, my average deal is like 50 to 70 grand. So that's a lot of pipeline. The next month, they booked 39 meetings, so less than 42. I found out why, because we were targeting some of the wrong people at the wrong accounts. We fixed that, and this month they're on pace to book 59 meetings, just those two, in their third month. And so you can have a lot of success on the phone if you just do it right, you pay attention, you build the right list, you know who to call, you call them, you disposition it the right way, you analyze the outcomes. That informs how you build the next list.
When you're talking about phones, you're in the GTM market. You're helping people go to market, and somebody's building a SaaS tool. First of all, does the industry matter? I know you'll provide these services to anyone, but do you find it as more effective to say, hey, I sell a service where I clean up restaurants, and so I'm going to call restaurants or something, or whatever.
In terms of like customers, like who are the best types of customers for me? Or what? Yeah. There are certain industries where at the end of the day, like what our tool does, it taps into people's human behavior to understand whether or not they answer cold calls or they don't. TitanX is, we're a phone intent platform. I know who has an intent to answer cold calls and who has a low intent to answer, AKA they just don't answer phone calls when they get them, when they don't recognize the number. And so that's a massive lift for the sales org, because I can push into these people I would have reached in thousands of dials, I can now reach them in dozens, which is an efficiency gain. However, there are certain industries where you just have natural headwinds where it's impossible to get the decision maker on the phone for one reason or another, one of which is restaurants. Because usually there's, you can't just call into a restaurant landline and get the owner of the restaurant on the phone. It's very unlikely. Second, they're not very, they don't have a very big digital footprint, so their mobile data is not super accessible. Another industry is like medical practices, right? The guy who or girl who typically owns the medical practice is usually seeing patients all day, and you're usually calling in. One, they're not going to answer their mobile phone because they're seeing patients all day. They don't make money if they don't see patients. And then second, if you do call in, you get the receptionist who says, hey, he's seeing patients all day. And third, they're not really business owners. They're doctors and practitioners who happen to make a few business decisions every month when they have their business day. And so there's a few industries where it doesn't work super well in, but as a whole, most industries, if they're B2B, tech, SaaS, IT services, cybersecurity, business services, advertising, logistics, all that works great.
So if I'm trying to sell, it's hard for me to imagine. So walk me through this a little bit. So I sell a software that caters to security, InfoSec kind of stuff. And I call up the CEO to a software company, and then they answer the phone and I walk them through a sales. That works. I mean, it does, clearly works, yeah. Because you do it at TitanX.
And there's different ways to run a script. One way is to say, hey, Thomas, this is Joey Gilkey with TitanX. I was hoping you had 30 seconds for me to tell you why I called. I hate that. I don't think it's very good.
Sure.
And then if they say yes, which is unlikely, if they do, then they're like, yeah, so TitanX, we solved this problem and this problem, and we can do this and that and blah, blah, blah. You've never contextualized it to them. Yeah, that's not an effective way to call. But if I called and I said, hey, Thomas, this is Joey Gilkey at TitanX. First time I've reached you, I was hoping you could help me out here for a brief moment. You'd be like, sure, what you got? But yeah, I appreciate that. Again, this is Joey at TitanX. Thomas, the reason I'm calling is I tend to talk to CEOs at XYZ SaaS companies all day. I'm kind of hearing one of two problems. One is they're experiencing this, or they're experiencing this. Does either of those sound like your world at all, or am I totally off base? I'm like, yeah, they can either say yes, which one? Then you have a talk track on how you talk about, perfect, that's why I'm calling. Or they say, no, we got it covered. I'll say, oh, interesting. Usually when I'm talking to guys like you, they usually experience one of those two. How did you guys solve that problem? And then they'll be like, look, we're really dialed in here. And I'll be like, okay, so are there any gaps there that you wish were different? Yeah, we could do this different. Okay, perfect. That's why I'm calling. And then you lead him into the pitch.
Nice. Nice. Okay, so in terms of what side of this solution you're on, are you doing consulting to help people set this up? Or are you a technology platform that does this? Your technology.
Yeah, we're a technology platform. However, we're a high ASP, you know, decent value. We have insanely involved technical account management and ProServe attached to our technology. And so people tend to stay for the technology, but they certainly are coming for some of the ProServe elements of our enablement or account management. But yeah, we're a technology platform.
Okay, so how does this come together? Are you allow folks to the team? So if I hire 3 reps and I get TitanX platform, yep, then they're using TitanX to execute the calls and to keep track of it and to CRM it?
Yeah, we're actually, at least in current state, we are middleware. So if you think about the go-to-market landscape, to make it very simple, is people have to build their list somewhere, which is like a ZoomInfo, an Apollo, a Cognizant. they have to house that data somewhere. Usually it's a Salesforce or a HubSpot. And then they have to action that data somewhere. Outreach, Salesloft, Nooks, Aurum, a dialer of sorts. We are middleware that lives at the CRM level. So all we are doing essentially is appending extremely valuable intelligence to the data. So we live in between where you build your list and where you call it. And so if a customer is using Titan X, they're still using more than likely ZoomInfo, Apollo, Cognizant, and they're still using Outreach, Salesloft, et cetera. We're just living at the CRM level to append intelligence to every contact before you go action it. We're telling you who you should be actioning and where based off the intelligence we have.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're essentially making it way more likely that they're going to be successful trying to do this call, right?
Yeah. Think about it this way. Yeah. Thomas, do you answer cold calls yourself?
Rarely.
If I called you 5 times in the next 2 months, I'm probably not changing your mind, correct? Correct. That is Thomas's human behavior.
Okay.
If I don't know that, I will treat Thomas the same as I treat Joey, who does answer cold calls. But if I do know that, I'm going to deprioritize my efforts on the phone to Thomas and maybe try email and social. And I'm going to prioritize phone with Joey because I'm going to get him at a much higher clip because he has a human behavior to answer the phone. That's all we do. As powerful as it is very simple.
So there's a filter. You, like the example you just gave, you filter it down to some subset of people who you do have a shot with. In terms of just talking.
It's a needles in a haystack. Right now, you're giving the whole haystack to the reps, and they're saying, go sift everyone to find the needles. I'm telling you, here's the needles. Here's how you should treat them. Here's the hay that don't answer. Here's how you should treat them. I'm a prioritization engine.
You made a statement earlier that automating and doing AI with calls, there's laws that prevent folks from doing like auto calling, but there's political campaigns that do some type of robocalling and surveys and things like this. Is that something different or?
Yeah, it is. So TCPA guidelines, which is based off the FCC. So TCPA is from FCC, essentially prohibits any outbound robocalling, pre-recorded lines, or AI calling. Where there's a caveat is if you have opted into receiving phone calls. So if you've ever invested in a political campaign, like they usually use like WinRed or on the right side, I forget what the blue side is. If you invest money in, you always have to
Act Blue,
that's right. So Act Blue on the left, WinRed on the right. If you invest money there, you've opted into this massive database. And now you're allowed to do robocalls and AI because you have opted into that call. So you can still do calling with AI with inbounds, but outbound, it's 100% prohibitive. You cannot do it because they're trying to protect the consumers from scams.
Gotcha. And in terms of phones that automatically block spam, you have to make sure that the phones that you're calling from aren't going to be on those spam lists.
Which is a massive hurdle for a lot of these dialers who do not have good, what's called spam identification and spam remediation process. So a lot of these dialers don't have the ability or the know-how to go build a monitoring system that says, hey, here's the 10 numbers you own as the sales rep or as the company. 6 of these are marked as spam with T-Mobile or AT&T or Verizon. And then they don't have a process for pulling those numbers out, cleaning them and putting them back in. And so many companies have sales reps who are calling people who would have answered. So hypothetically, Thomas, if you would have said, yes, I do answer cold calls, I would then ask you, if it said spam likely, would you answer? And your answer is always no.
No.
I said, so Thomas has the human behavior to answer a clean number. He has the human behavior to not answer a spam. And so then that becomes a problem that you have to fix. And so that's where a lot of these dialers are falling short. There are a few that are doing a good job with it, but that is certainly a massive hurdle and roadblock they have to fix.
Wow, this is super, super interesting. What do users of Titan X have to look forward to on your roadmap? Might you go into some of those other areas to flesh out the adjacent steps of the process?
There is an acquisition that we are doing right now that is probably going to shake up the market quite a bit here shortly that we are conducting. I can't talk much about that. However, our objective of Titan X in the future is to be a continuous flywheel where we are helping them understand how to better build their lists, right? To the point on list message rep follow-up, how to do better messaging, how that data scores, how that data should be called. And then based on how it's called, how that's analyzed and how it's analyzed helps them build better lists and it becomes a flywheel. So the objective of Titan X is to help them think through that entire loop a little bit more holistically. It's about as far as I can get right now.
No, ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Joey Gilkey, CEO of Titan X. Where should we go to check out Titan X and get started with it?
TitanX.io. I know this is a product-led growth, but we are a sales-led growth organization.
That's right.
So you will get a demo with us and we'll walk you through the process.
Nice. Okay, that's how you do a demo. Do you do a sort of a diagnostic of the company and tell them what they need and then get started with them?
Yeah, so we do a demo, we work them through a process to eventually doing a pilot with us. And in the pilot, we get super in the weeds with them on their data quality, their conversion metrics, all those things. By the end of the pilot, that's when they end up signing up for an annual agreement with us, and then we push them into a contract.
Excellent. Sounds great. Everybody, check out Titan X. It's been great. Joey, where do people find you on LinkedIn?
Yep, LinkedIn is linkedin.com/in/Joey Gilkey. Just type in Joey Gilkey. I'm probably one of the only ones on there. My dad's on there, but he's retired.
Awesome. Joey, thank you for joining us today and telling us about Titan X and all the cool stuff you're doing.
Thomas, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.